welcome to Why Running, a show that's here to inspire and motivate you on your running journey. If you're new to this podcast, it's great to have you here. And if you're a returning listener, then welcome back. I'm your host, Rina Mihaila, and in this episode, I'm joined by someone whose story is honestly so inspiring. She's someone who motivates others and empowers runners to achieve their goals and live a more balanced life. Please welcome to Why Running, Charlene Greece.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'm excited. I know we've chatted a little bit, but I'm excited to be here and talk all things running and anything.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm so glad that we can finally be able to do this. For those of you who don't know, Charlene is based in Denver, Colorado. So it's 5 p.m. UK time when we're recording this, and it's just 10 a.m. in Colorado. So quite a big time difference there. So yeah. Have you already had the chance to go for your morning run this morning?
So Mondays are my rest days. So I did do, I kind of love Mondays for that because I start off the week, I usually do some sort of lift and then no run, but I'll walk the dog. So it's a very easy way to start my week.
Yeah, I love a slow Monday as well, especially if the weather's nice and you can just go for a walk and yoga. That's lovely. You're a food scientist, a run coach, content creator, and marathon runner. Tell me, how do you balance everything and how do you make time for everything, for your hobbies, your personal life, your family life? It seems like you've got a lot going on.
I think I just naturally am like an organized person. I love checklists. I structure my weeks, my days, like everything all the time, which is good and bad, but it kind of like allows me to do the things that I love and make time for the things that I love to do, because obviously like we're all busy, especially with work, and like obviously want to be in like present with my husband and friends and family whenever we get to see them. So like creating that time to like do the things that I love is really important to me. I wake up super early. I am naturally a morning person, so I usually like things for like the running or the content, I typically try to do that like right away to start the day. And then that way I'm like starting the day doing things that I love, which is kind of ideal and makes me in a good mood for the rest of the day.
When do you typically wake up?
Usually 5:15, 5:30. Mondays, like today with the rest day, or rest from running, I got to sleep until 6. So that's like as much as I'll sleep in. So but yeah, five to six, I would say, even on the weekends, without an alarm. So I'm crazy.
But it feels good, doesn't it? I feel like it just sets you up for the day and it makes you feel so productive. And when you have time to do your whole routine without rushing, it's so, so good.
Yeah, no, I love it. It makes me not as anxious throughout the rest of the day, because I know like if I've made time for the things that I really want to get done, and especially in a busy work day or weekday, I don't have to think about that at that point because I can focus on like the task at hand or work or whatever it may be, because I've already done like a majority of the things I wanted to do.
So you've done 10 half marathons, 7 marathons, and you're currently training for your 8th one, which is going to be in October in Chicago. How's your training looking and nutrition looking at the minute?
So right now, yeah, as of yesterday, it's 4 weeks out from Chicago. So I think typically, and especially this year, I've really become tuned in to a marathon training because I've done 2 this year, which not necessarily designed or meant to do that. But I'd say like 4 weeks out, I've just kind of gotten really used to this point. So you kind of just get into more of a kind of strict routine because you want to really focus on recovery and nutrition. So I just try to cut out things that are like aren't going to be helpful for me. So I do drink, I love wine, but at this point I really, really, really kind of either don't drink at all or have like 1 glass of wine. So that's one of the big things nutrition wise. I'm making sure I'm eating a lot and eating often. I'm someone who I could never be a person that has like breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and that's it. Like I have to eat kind of throughout the day, especially as someone who runs, because I know how important it is to eat before a workout, before a run, especially for women, like our hormones need that, kind of crave that. So yeah, I usually have, I'll wake up, drink some water, have like a toast or bar or something, and then go work out, and then protein. So usually my protein, overnight oats, is it's like my go-to breakfast if I have time, and then coffee after that. So, but yeah, just overall in general, leading up to this marathon, I'm feeling good. Just kind of focusing on getting to that peak week. I think I'm almost there, or will be there. I'm not really sure yet.
I have to say I'm the same when it comes to eating. I feel like sometimes I'm just wondering, like, am I eating too much? Am I snacking too much? Because like you always
No.
just want to have something, but it's because you keep running, and unless you take a break or do other forms of cross training, it's just really, really hard to stick to just eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So yeah, I totally agree with that. And oats have been my favorite recently as well. I do like a porridge as well. So overnight oats as well, but sometimes a porridge with some blueberries.
Yeah, I guess I've been in the Ninja Creami era phase of my life. I feel like I got it in March of last year. So I've been using that for my overnight oats. Like I'll make an ice cream and it's honestly amazing. But I guess like we're getting into colder weather. And so it is tough to want the ice cream in the morning when you're kind of cold. So yeah, like heated or more of like a baked oat might be what I pivot to as we get into winter.
Yeah, we'll talk about nutrition a bit later. I want to talk about your life as a runner in Colorado, because a lot of people who move to places with high altitudes talk about the need to adapt. How has this been for you, and how has it impacted your running?
Yeah, I would say, so I moved here in 2018 and I signed up for the Boulder Boulder 10K. It's, I want to say maybe the biggest 10K, at least in the US. It's like tens of thousands of runners. It's huge. So I signed up for that, started running, and was immediately humbled. I just thought to myself, wow, it's a lot different running here versus like I had moved from Omaha and then I'm from Michigan. So just somewhere that's much lower in altitude, and running here, I just felt like I couldn't breathe, or like it was just much harder to breathe. So I was immediately humbled. And then once I started to get going, like after a few weeks of it, I felt like a little better, and kind of could actually do it without just gasping for air, wanting to just be immediately negative. but yeah, basically since then, I thought to myself, I was like, okay, I live here now. I don't want to reacclimate to running. So I pretty much stayed consistent since then. Just, I mean, one, I love it, but two, and then running here is great with the we don't really have humidity. So that's amazing. That's, I guess, one of the benefits when you have to deal with the altitude. But yes, basically since we moved here, since I got acclimated to running, I just kind of stayed consistent with it because I didn't want to have to re-go through that. And then kind of fell in love with the routine of it.
Yeah. Do you find it a lot easier to run and to just go for an easy run when you go to a different state or in a different country?
I do feel that my heart rate and the breathing it's beneficial for sure. Humidity though, now that I'm not used to it, that is something that is tough. And I know we're all going through we're getting towards the end, but the summer running and the hot running, everyone goes through it this summer and you're like, why is this so awful? Why is this so harder? Why is it so much slower? But it's just harder on your body and your heart to keep up with that, especially with the sweating. So yeah, I think humidity is a little tougher on me now that I'm used to the dry heat.
I'd be curious to see kind of how it feels to me, because it's kind of the opposite in the UK where you have low altitudes and high humidity. So it will feel probably a lot more different. I want to talk about your community on social media. So I think it's so inspiring that you've built this amazing community online, and you have this uplifting content, that you also make sure that it's realistic, which I love. How important is it for you as a content creator to produce inspiring content whilst also showing the highs and lows of training?
Totally. I think it's so important, especially because you try to think about someone that's new to running or like might be intimidated by it, or even just someone new to sharing their journey or wanting to share their running and are kind of like embarrassed to do it. I think it's just important to share both sides, because there's always going to be someone that can relate to you, and also always someone that you were once in their shoes, or like vice versa. So I think it's just like everyone can, like, we're all going through similar things. I mean, we all have our different journeys, but I think we're all going through similar things in the sense of like being new to running or new to something. Anything you're new to is scary because you're kind of doubting yourself, because if you're not good at something, it's really hard to want to keep going. But I think that's where I want to inspire people to see, like, you can push yourself, and it's so much about your mindset and your belief in yourself to be able to reach different goals, or even like put like a pie in the sky goal out there and go for it. Like, why not? Literally, what's the worst that could happen if you're not hurting anyone? I think it's just, yeah. So I try to share inspiration in that sense, because I look for that. I like, that's what I started to go to social media for when I was really getting a little more serious about running. I wanted to be able to connect with people that maybe were similar to me or I could relate to. And that's why I think it's cool to share where I've come from with my own running journey. And like, literally anyone can do it. Like, I hate when people say like, oh, well, I'm not a runner. Or, like, I just started running, or I'm not very good at it. It's like, no, you are a runner. You're running, you're doing it. If you're putting your shoes on and going out there, if you're running a half mile or a couple minutes, like, who cares? You're running, you can get there. It takes time, obviously. Like, I didn't just start running and run a marathon in Colorado. No, like, I years and years and years of consistency. So you also have to kind of fall in love with it too.
Yeah, and I think I agree with what you said earlier about, you know, getting intimidated, because I think so much content on social media, it's easy to feel discouraged and say, well, there are so many people who are a lot better than me, and I don't have, you know, the running shoes that I need, or, you know, the right clothes, or that kind of stuff. And you feel like, oh, it's not, you know, it's not worth doing it because I'm not good enough. I've never been into sports, so that kind of stuff. And just seeing people who have a more realistic perspective and who show the good and the bad days, I think that's so, so empowering. It really helps you.
Yeah, I think if every run or every day was amazing, I don't feel that it would be as fulfilling. So of course you're going to have even down weeks, like, especially as women, like, throughout the month, it really affects how we perform. So I think keeping that in mind and reminding yourself that you're always going to have those pits or those downfalls or just times where you're not feeling good, even when yesterday you felt amazing doing the same exact thing. So I think it makes it worth it when there's like those peaks and valleys. And especially as you get closer to a race, you kind of start to doubt yourself and get in your head a little bit. So I think reminding yourself that as you get closer, like, those doubts will creep in. So that's where like the mental growth and the mental toughness is what will get you to that start line and to that finish line. And then, yeah, I was going to touch on the like sharing on social media thing. I was talking to this about this to a friend this weekend, and like, how are you not embarrassed if like you're on your run and you have your phone, your hand, like holding your phone up, and like other people around? I was like, honestly, I used to care for sure, but now I'm like, who cares if someone makes fun of you, like, or like laughs at you as they go by? Like I don't care. like what does that do? Like, them laughing at you or them making fun of you, like, what are they getting out of that? Literally nothing. So I think it's just kind of reminding yourself that for the most part, everyone's kind of just focusing on themselves, and probably they don't even notice you. But if they do laugh at you, also like, who cares? You're going out there and you're sharing, and hopefully you're inspiring like one person, and that's what's important.
What has changed in your life since you become a content creator and you've started opening up about your journey and your runs?
I think my belief in myself, and then just kind of like in turn confidence has grown, because I've noticed if you either like, maybe you're not sharing with people online or friends or family, but even if you're writing things down, I think it makes things more real. And I'm the type of person where it's really hard. I'm realizing it's hard for me to, for things to seem real until they happen. But writing goals down or even speaking about them online has grown my confidence, because like, if you aren't going to believe in yourself, like why would anyone else? Like, I want to run sub-3 hours at Chicago. I don't know if I'm there yet, but I want to, and I've been training for it. So yeah, I'm going to talk about it. And I think women like are more timid in sharing big goals like that, because just traditionally it's kind of newer, honestly, of really like being loud about what you want and what you're working for. Whereas I think if in the same turn, like men typically are like, yeah, I'm going to run a sub-3 hour marathon. And you hear that and you're like, oh, of course you are. Like, you're confident, you believe in yourself, like you will do it. So I think it's just, it's changed a lot about like how I view myself and my goals and like the realisticness. Like, obviously there's, you still have to be rooted in reality and where you're at, especially with running, because a marathon is one day, a race is one day. It humbles you and everything has to fall into place on that day. But yeah, I think it's just talking, like the goal setting has been really, really cool, and I think kind of transformative for me personally.
It's great to hear that. Another thing that I want to touch on is the topics that you often talk about, because some of them are very personal. And, you know, you talk about things like mental health, well-being, body image, and staying safe as a female runner. What made you open up about these things, and what reaction has this generated among your audience?
I think seeing kind of similar to what I touched on before is just seeing other people share that has made me realize that like I was looking for that. I was looking for someone that was sharing about runner safety or running alone, because I just recorded a video this weekend of talking about, because it's been, I think, just about a year that I've ran outside alone, or for the most part alone. But before that, since I moved to Colorado, I've really been running on my treadmill. I had an incident, I think 10 years ago, where I was running in Michigan and was followed, and ended up like having to run to someone's house because that's how close they were following me. So it was super scary at the time. And just, I think runner safety is, ever since then, I didn't really think about it. And so since then, I was really terrified to run outside alone. I thought I was paranoid. I thought I was overreacting. So I just ran on the treadmill. So I think running outside for the last year has been really empowering for me. But then I've also learned so much and become like even more aware of the safety aspect of it and all of the different tools that we kind of have now. So seeing other people talk about it, I think, made me want to talk about it more, because if there's someone in the same boat as me, like obviously you have to do things in your own time. I mean, it took me a really long time, but I think it just kind of made me feel more empowered. And like in that same breath, obviously, I think a month and a half ago, I can't remember the date, but someone followed me to my home again here, like where I live. And that was terrifying, and it's not okay. And luckily a neighbor was near and kind of, I think, scared the man off. But yeah, it's like things like this still happen, and just because they happen, I think, makes you like, one, you have to be aware, but I don't want it to take away from like what I love or what you love to do. So I'm not going to let it stop me. Obviously you kind of change and are impacted a little bit. It takes time to process and time to be okay with it again. But yeah, it's the tough reality that we live in, I think.
Yeah, I think it's so important that you're talking about it, because often we're not aware of how you know, dangerous it could be. It's also sad at the same time that we have to be aware of these things and always think about them and always make sure that we're not wearing headphones, maybe so we can hear what's happening around us, or have our phone just ready, or, you know, always look behind us to make sure that no one's following us and stuff like that. It's so sad that as women, we can't just run outside without being scared or without being worried. And especially now with the cold season just around the corner, I think it's even harder. And a lot of women, I think, are going to be less likely to go outside, and they're just going to go to the gym, or they're going to probably skate running altogether, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It sucks. just plain and simply, but I think having a community, and I think there's like so many great companies getting started to help women or any runner through kind of these safety things that we have to work through and being aware of, like, I think that's great too. And I think social media is helpful because it kind of connects you with those companies and resources to stay safe and aware.
You're doing obviously one-to-one sessions as well as a coach, and you work with a lot of people and you help them to optimize their nutrition and improve their performance. What nutrition advice would you give to someone who's training for their first race, whether it's a 5K, a 10K, a half marathon, or even a marathon?
I would say, I think I said this before, but eat before your runs, eat before your workouts, like 100% practice that and do that, because I think we were maybe as we were growing up, like taught like fasted training or don't eat a lot before your workout, like you're going to just kind of negate the results. Like, but I've learned that that's the opposite. I think if you're not fueling for your runs or your workouts, like you're tired, you're sluggish, you kind of have to fight through it, and you shouldn't have to feel that. So I think it's like fueling your body is so important. So no matter the distance, like I eat every single morning and kind of love it. Like I clearly love food. I work in the food industry. I now have the nutrition coaching, and obviously just love to cook in general. So I think it's great to be able to wake up and get a nice little snack in before the workout. But then if you're training for longer distances, I'd say like for a 5K, you're not going to fuel during the race. It's a shorter distance and more of like a almost an anaerobic workout. It's you're kind of in the pain cave for however many minutes, but so it's a different animal. But for your longer distances, like practice fueling during your training, because that helps your gut and you kind of can test out things. Like don't test the new thing on race day, because you don't want, like that's the one day. So I think training your gut, training your body of the habit of fueling is important.
What's a common mistake that you see in people when it comes to fueling their bodies?
I would say trying to mimic what someone else does, which I've totally done. Like you see someone do really well, so you look at what they're sharing, what they're doing, and you try to just copy it. But everybody is so different, and everybody's like gut and microbiome, everything is different. So I think listening to your body is the best thing that you can do, and also working with it, not against it. So don't just try to mimic someone else's pre-workout fuel or fuel timing or carbs per hour for your training. I think it's very specific to you. So I would say try and if you can figure out what works for you or find an expert to help you with that.
How has your nutrition changed since a few years ago when you mentioned that you were still kind of looking for, you know, the right diet or the right lifestyle? And how is it now compared to a few years ago?
Oh gosh, I feel like it's embarrassing. It's so much better. I'm so much happier. I used to be, and I don't know years, but I used to be the person that like, you kind of like wait to eat your next meal until you're starving, or not necessarily starving, but you're just like so hungry and you're like, okay, I'm going to heat up my protein bar and this is a little treat. Like I don't know. It's just all those little fads or like the rice cakes. And not to say any of that's bad, but I think like I wasn't wanting to do that. I just did it because that's what I thought you were supposed to do if you wanted to stay like within this like body image. And I ran because I thought it would help me stay within that body image that I wanted. But I've now realized like the more that you fuel, your body actually is happier. You're mentally like clearer. Physically, you can perform better. It's really hard to perform well if you're not treating your body well. So yeah, I would say I just eat more and I eat more of what I want. I've always cooked, so that's kind of the same. I've loved testing out new recipes every single week, so that really hasn't changed. But I think just fueling more and also trying out new brands. There's so many fueling brands out there now. It's almost hard to keep up with, but it's great because as runners or as people that work out, like you have the resources to try out different products of what may work for you because maybe you do need something that's like more whole ingredient, all natural, like made of like dates, bananas, things like that. Or maybe that upsets your stomach. So you go to something that's maybe more like a Morton that's more formulated scientifically for that endurance event.
Yeah, I can totally relate with what you said earlier about just trying random things and reading different books or seeing different people on social media and following kind of random advice. And it's so easy also to get engulfed into all that because you get so much information. It's almost like you get overwhelmed by this amount of information from everywhere, and everyone seems to follow different rules. So yeah, it's almost natural that you kind of go, oh my God, what should I do? What should I eat? Should I try that? And should I give that a go? So yeah, I feel like everyone has probably had that episode at one point in their life. I know we're getting closer to the end of the year, but I still want to ask you about your running goals. So what would be your plans and your running goals for the next 12 months?
Ooh, that's a good one. So this year, I think I mentioned this Chicago will be my third marathon in not just 1 year, but 6 months. It's a lot. It was not my plan. But yeah, it's been really fun to kind of, like I said, I've really become accustomed to the training block of a marathon now. I know what to expect. I'm not like, I know how to really get down into those final weeks. But now, looking forward to the next 12 months, I would love to go sub 3 hours in the marathon, whether that's in Chicago in less than 4 weeks or at my next marathon. That would be incredible. My last one was 3:07, so it's 7 minutes doesn't sound like a lot, but in the grand scheme of it, in the marathon, it is a big change. So I want to be give myself grace with that goal and maybe not be tied to it for 12 months and if I don't hit it, but that's a big goal. And then I think after this marathon, I'll take a little break since I've kind of been in a consistent training block since like last November. But then I'll get back. Like I want to stay running and stay consistent. I think I want to switch it up to do more of like the 5K distance for probably the first half of next year. We'll see what comes up if there's like. I applied to Tokyo and I think I find out in 4 days if I get in. That would be in March, so that would totally disregard everything I just said. But I think I would do that race with the intention of like enjoying it and not necessarily having a time goal, which I think is also awesome. Like finishing a marathon is a feat in itself. But yeah, I would say I'd like to switch it up, focus on speed for a little bit because I think you can get in this like plateau space if you're constantly doing the same thing like training for a marathon. And I think that's kind of just what my body needs at this point.
Oh my God, it's amazing. I mean, it's so impressive. Is Tokyo going to be your first marathon outside the US if you're going to get a place?
Yes, that would be wild. It would be so cool.
Gosh, yeah, especially because Japan is such an amazing country. I mean, I've never been, but I would love to visit.
Me
And
either.
I think a marathon. I've never actually, I think you're the first person that I've heard talking about a Tokyo marathon. So, I think just yeah, the idea of running there, it would be incredible. When is it?
It's March. I want to say it's early March. I don't remember the exact date because I haven't Well, I'll know the exact date if I get in. But yeah, I think that's another thing that's been cool about this running journey is have it, and I'm very fortunate to be able to travel to races. Obviously, I'm not doing it all the time, but I think it's fun if you have that to be able to pick a spot you have never been. I've never been to Japan. I think Tokyo would be so cool to go explore, and incredible food, obviously, love that. So I think if you have that ability, it's fun to make a trip out of it and make it's a whole experience and something you'll never forget. Like traveling to Boston was the maybe trying to think one of the first marathons I've traveled to, and obviously Boston's iconic. I won't It's probably my favorite weekend of the whole year still. So I just can only imagine if all races are like that.
I mean, you've done seven marathons. If you could go back in time and give yourself a piece of advice when before you did your first marathon, what would that be?
Oh, I think probably to remember to enjoy the training process. Running your first one, I ran my first one a little over 10 years ago, and I don't think I enjoyed the training process. I think I also didn't have a strategy. I just kind of went out there and I downloaded a plan from, I don't know, I think Hal Higdon has like marathon guides. So I downloaded that. But I didn't know that you should run easy. I just went out and would run every single run. Like, okay, yesterday I ran at this pace. So, like, I'll do that again today. And I was just kind of tiring myself out and not having much fun. But running easy and enjoying has made me enjoy process, like the training process a bit more, and seeing those like results when you are able to do a speed workout faster than you did it like a couple months ago. So yeah, I'd probably just tell myself to enjoy the process of the actual training block, because that's the real feat. The marathon getting there is like to be able to train over 12, 16, 20 weeks is awesome. And I think a lot of people get injured. Some people don't make it to the start line. So it's important to listen to your body and get to the start line. And that's like the whole feat in itself. And then the marathon should be like the celebration and kind of like the coming together of all your hard work.
Yeah, it's almost like an exam, after like an intense period of like preparing for an exam or studying, and it feels like that because all the work is just before the marathon itself, obviously all the training and everything. So yeah, I love that. My final question to you is obviously why running, because this is the name of the podcast. What makes you run and what do you love about running?
Oh, that's a loaded question. I run for me. It makes me happy, plain and simply. But no, I think it's so cool to put goals out there and then reach them. And it gives you just this confidence in yourself that pretty much transcribes to every other part of your life, which makes life great. Like it makes your relationships better. It makes friendships better. You kind of are able to grow this whole other community and whole other like group of friends that maybe we haven't met in person, but like it connects you, and it's really cool to do that. Like, I don't know, I feel like internet friends used to be so weird like scary, but no, it's so cool to be able to meet people that are like-minded and similar to you. And I would say I run because, yeah, like all of those reasons. It makes me a better person. It makes me sane. And it's something I'm truly grateful for, because someday I'll be old enough and maybe won't be able to run, or people obviously like health is one of like health as well. It's so much time and health, and your health is so important. And I think yeah, I think running is like a gift to be able to do that, to be able to move your body, to have the freedom to do it, like to be able to go outside and do that, like to be able to fuel for it, have water. Like these are all things that are so like essentially basic, but not everyone has that. So it's just a good reminder to be super grateful of that.
I love that, and it's such a nice way to end this episode. I'm sure a lot of people want to know more about you and your work. So where could they find you online?
Yeah, so I have my Instagram. I have a TikTok too, all of that, Charathoner. And then I do have a website now. I haven't really announced much about it, But that has the run coaching and nutrition coaching pieces and details, and you can kind of see what's built into that or what I'm building into that. I'm growing it slowly, so taking new clients and offer free consults. I think if someone wants to get a coach, it's important for the coach to make sense. Like, I want to work with someone who feels comfortable with me and clicks right away. So I think, yeah, I think a consult's important. When I got my first coach, or when I rewind, when I got my coach that I have now, we clicked right off the bat, and I talked to her for an hour. And I don't really do that. Like, I just don't talk on the phone to people for an hour. We're all busy, but it was just like conversation was flowing so well. Like, everything clicked. What she was saying made so much sense to me and inspired me. So I think that's important to make sure it's a right fit, because it is an investment. It's an investment in yourself. And then the coach should be invested in you too. It's not just a running plan. It's someone who's going to be there for you day in and day out and motivate you and help you through like the hurdles.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think you don't realize how many questions you've got until you speak to someone and you're on a phone with someone who actually knows stuff about nutrition and running and endurance. And you're like, oh, I've got so many things I want to know more about. So yeah, and I think that education piece is so important. Again, whether it's nutrition or performance in general, I think it's so important. So I really admire what you're doing. Charlene, it's been lovely, lovely to chat with you. Thank you so much again for coming on the show.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I can't wait to connect.
I've got a quick fire round if you're up for it. So
yeah,
only four questions. What's your favorite season for running?
I think fall. I love to wear shorts and I love to wear a long sleeve top, and fall is like the perfect time for that. And also seeing the leaves change color at this time of year just makes the runs like beautiful and yeah, makes the summer training pay off.
What's your favorite place to run?
I would say, oh, that's a really tough question. By me, there's a trail it's not by me, but it's like further. I have to drive to it, but I love like a flat trail where I can just go for a long run. Cause I think 10 miles, if I could just pick my favorite distance, it'd be 10 miles. And so anywhere where you can have that flat, but also beautiful scenery is great. I also am from Michigan, so I'm kind of biased to say anywhere along the lakeshore, because Lake Michigan's beautiful too.
Here's a hard one for you. What's your favorite post-run snack?
Ooh, not hard. My Ninja Creamy Overnight Oat ice cream.
Ooh, I'll need to get that go. And what's your favorite song to listen to on a run?
Oh gosh. I'll answer this with this one, because this is the first one that came up on one of my playlists. Heroes by Alesso is a great one. But if you haven't ever listened to Big Booty Mixes, those are great. And they're over an hour long.
I'll give them a go tonight, because I haven't been for a run today. So I might go for one tonight. So I'll definitely try that playlist.
Perfect.
Thanks again, Charlene. It's been so, so lovely to chat with you. And I hope we can catch up again soon.
Great. No, thanks again. And I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Thank you so much for listening to Why Running. If you love this episode, then please leave me a review and share this podcast on your social media. And if you'd like to hear more from me, then make sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. I'll see you next time.